All right, let's look at the Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. Last week, we were considering how Mark emphasizes how astonished people were. They were astonished at the teaching of Jesus, the manner in which he taught. And they were astonished at his power, especially his power over evil. And what we witness in the passage is that Jesus was becoming very famous. His fame, his popularity was spreading abroad. And the text that we're looking at, Brother Glenn read a few verses in the middle, but I'm actually considering verses 29 through verse 39, that what you see is he's drawing larger and larger crowds as a result of the powerful miracles that continued to take place. In verses 30 and verse 31, he heals Simon's mother-in-law. And then in verses 32 and verses 34, he is delivering people from diseases and possessions. And so we come down to the situation we find in verse 33. All the city was gathered at the door. Now, when the Bible says all the city, you need to understand it uses language like we do. For instance, when they have Old Timers Day here in our town, they'll report that all the people of the town were there. Well, I can assure you that's not true, at least for the last several years, because for some reason I got out of the habit of going myself, and I'm not there. And probably some of you aren't there. But we understand when they say everybody was there, don't we? You go to a football game, it's a big crowd, and you say everybody was there. That's just how we use language, and the Bible does that. The Bible, when it says all the city was there, it's just using language like we do. But the fact is, there were larger and larger crowds. People were gathered at the door where he was. You get an idea of this in the next chapter, verse 2, when there's so many people that people can't even get in the house where he's at. And we'll see that miracle where they tear off the roof. That's how it was. I mean, people were surrounding. You expect that, wouldn't you? I mean, the kind of teaching that Jesus was doing, and the kind of miracles that he was doing, and the power to deliver from this oppression that people were experiencing, it had drawn a lot of people. In the midst of all of these miracles and the crowds gathering, we read in verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Now, this is a very important statement to the narrative that Mark has given us in this gospel. Remember, Mark is telling us what Peter had told him. And this was something that Peter remembered years and years later. If the Gospel of Mark was written somewhere maybe in the 50s, 20, 30, 25 years after Jesus had left. And whenever Peter had told Mark this, we're not sure, but some time has passed. But this is something Mark remembers distinctly, Peter telling him. And early on, he wants to put it in the passage that Peter took note about what Jesus did. And you see, what Mark is conveying to us is the beginning of the gospel. How all of these things developed. And what he tells us is there were great crowds. They were at the door. But what Peter remembers is that Jesus would get up a great while before daytime, before sunrise. And he would go out to a solitary place. And there you pray. Now, Peter knew this, of course, as you go down through the passage, verse 36, they follow him out there after a while, and they find out, in verse 37, they found him, and they say, "Everybody's looking for you." And what you realize is that Jesus maintains a quiet life in a very busy and chaotic world that's surrounding him. He's living in a bustling world. And what he continues, in spite of everything that's happening, what you see is his quiet life. You see his devotional life. You see, with crowds pressing him in the daytime and people surrounding him, he finds a way to be alone. See, it almost become impossible for Jesus to be alone. He had become so popular. As a result of these manifestations of power and deliverance. Almost impossible. You and I, we are living in the time when we hear about rock stars and people who lose their life, as it were. Politicians do that. A man becomes president. And everywhere he goes, there's people. A man becomes famous movie star, becomes a famous athlete, becomes famous at anything a person does. And everywhere they go, people noticing this person. But here, Jesus, they're doing more than that. They're surrounding his house. Wherever he's at, they're coming. They hear he's in the house. They come to the doors. They come to the windows. They're looking. And while it's impossible to be alone during the day, he finds a quiet life and maintains a quiet life. And in this, he's our example. He makes this priority in his life. There's a lot of needs, yes, but the needs of the people do not override this. The needs are met. He's going to meet their needs. In fact, it may be that he meets their needs better as a result of this. But certainly, he must. But nothing stops this. You can see this. It's a priority to him. People say that you do basically what you want to do. And there's a lot of truth to that, except it is true that in our lives, most of us want to do better spiritually than we do. Now, I just believe that. I can say that I believe that in your life. I believe you come to this building, this church, you come here. You've been disappointed in yourself sometimes this week, haven't you? And you look back and you say, I don't know why I do that. Just feel really low. Do you ever feel like you're just rubbing bottom? I mean, you're so low, your stomach's hitting the ground. You just, and you come here, but you want to do better. I feel for that person because I don't subscribe that you do what you want to do all together, because it's kind of like diet. I can assure you, I want to do better than I do. But if I look at something, and it causes me to gain weight. And if I smell it, it's even more. I want to. There's no question. I want to exercise. And I tell myself I'm in no shape to exercise. And you probably do that too. I want to. All my life, in my spiritual life, I know this is true. And I think probably I'm talking to people true. If I could change anything about my spiritual life, it would be right here. What he's talking about. That's what I want more than anything. I really can say that. I read about Martin Luther saying he was so busy. He had so much to do today. There was no way he could get it done unless he prayed 2 hours, I believe it was. And Meta said four. I read about John Wesley. John Wesley thought she was some kind of carnal person if you slept past 4 a.m. That's how Wesley looked at it. I take comfort that he had other problems in his life. And I compare, well, I don't have that problem. But honestly, in my Christian life, I want this more than, I used to say, if I could change one thing in my physical life, it would be the ability to go to sleep when I wanted to. Any of you all lay up at night and you can't shut your mind off? I literally have to almost do something at night to get my mind off of sleep so I can fall asleep. But I'm doing better. I think it's old age. Or maybe some of the medicines I take. But I said, I wish I could change that. I have a nephew. He said, I'm never over 30 seconds away from sleep at any time. And I said, I would kill for that. I mean, to be able to go to sleep, because The key to the mornings is going to sleep at night, isn't it? That's the one thing I would change physically. I know that. But I know that spiritually, if I'm beat over any one thing in my life, it's this right here. That's not the only thing, but this is a big thing. And here you see Jesus maintaining this quiet life. He's maintaining this walk with God. He's maintaining this secret life. He's maintaining this devotional life in a very chaotic world that's come upon him. I mean, there's activity like no man has ever faced. Jesus is facing it. And as simple as you look at the text, first, the simple thing is he finds a time that's most likely to work for him. Early morning, a great way before daylight. You see, this was difficult in the culture in which Jesus lived. In the culture in which Jesus lived, people got up at daylight. Don't you know? People got up. Kind of like the old farmers, you know, the rooster crowing. I'll tell you what, you have a rooster around the house and he goes off at 4:30. You can be sure at 4:30. I got rid of that rooster. We ate him. I'm telling you this, I ain't keeping a rooster around goes off at 4:30, but I know what time they go off. But these people lived in a culture that they didn't sleep past daylight. Of course, you could say they went to bed at sundown, too. I mean, they had to have a candle, and those candles are expensive, and they weren't going to burn many of those candles. For him, the only time left was right here. And what he does is he finds the time most likely to work. That's very significant. It's not the same for everybody. That's where you cannot allow people to put you in a box. I'm not here this morning to make you feel bad because you can't get up at 4. I tried that one time for a while and my heart started hurting me. I get up at 4 and my wife could tell you. I started having heart trouble. I told you I was no shape to exercise. I'm no shape to get up at 4 in the morning. I tell people I wouldn't even go to bed if I was going to get up at 4 in the morning. Honestly. Why would you go to bed? It isn't the same for everybody. But what he does do in his culture, his time, he finds a time that's going to work for him. And for him, it had to be before anybody else got up. A lot of our folks homeschool. Boy, you talk about a chaotic world. Your children are home all the time. And you better watch all these homeschool people. They put you under all their laws and rules. I say that because I've been a homeschool all my life, but I've refused to let people put me under their rules. I don't care what they wrote in their book. A lot of them, by the way, wrote these books or whatever and tell you how to do it. As their kids have got older, they don't have spiritual interest and they don't follow the Lord. And in the end, what good is that? But I didn't want to say that. Just strike that. But I want to say this. Probably you should let your children sleep another hour or two. Well, you have an hour or two to yourself. Your world may be coming apart because you get up at 7, you get your kids up at 2 minutes after 7, and it goes on and on. Now, you may have these kids that get up on their own. That's a strange sort of kid. Honestly, what kind of normal kid does that? But wherever it may be, it's an hour later at night. But what you have to find, if you're going to maintain a quiet life, you've got to find a time. You've got to find a time when you can be alone. The second simple thing is, he finds a secluded place. Notice it says it's a solitary place. It's interesting how the Bible translates things. Here, he's talking about prayer. And so the solitude seems to be the right word, right? Most of the time, this word is translated wilderness or desert. When I say that, the word that Mark writes with, you see, it's solitude. No, that's our English word. The Bible wasn't written in English. And so what we do is we go back and look at the Bible that was written in, the language it was written in, the New Testament. And what you find is the translators translated the same word different at different times. And they allowed, like right here, he's talking about prayer, so solitude seems to fit that better. A lonely place. A quiet place. It could be translated an uninhabited place. Or as I say, a lonely place. Or a desert place or a wilderness. John went out into the wilderness. Here we are. It wasn't the city, it's a way. They weren't very far from the wilderness, wherever they were. It's like Africa. I don't care where you're there, it doesn't seem like you're very far from the jungle. You don't have to go very far, you're in the jungle. Well, they found a place. And let me just tell you, in their culture, there was some difficulty to this in spite of there being wilderness places. Because of this, their culture was an outdoor culture. You and I live, we leave our house, we get in our car, we go to where we're going, we get out of the car, go into where we're going, get back in the car, go back home, get out of the car, in our driveway, go into the house. Between us and our neighbor could be 100 feet away and we don't know them. That's our culture. We're an indoor type people. Like right here, we've got heating or air, whatever we need this morning. Wherever we go, we've got it. Americans ain't going to be far apart from it. But there are cultures, like we're in Mexico. I've been down there a few times. Some of our folks were down there for a while. People are in the streets. They're out of the house. They're everywhere. Africa's that way. We were visiting Amy and Aaron. We were in Africa, and when we wake up, the people were at the door trying to get in. If you left the door open, they would be around your table when you got up. All day long, they were coming. Aaron and Amy said, we were the first ones that ever came that didn't think it strange that people were in the house. No, we were used to people. And they would come, and whatever you do, they're coming through. They're coming, kids are coming through. They're looking in the windows there. But you go outside, there they are. He went outside one day, a lady having a baby right in his backyard. And you think that's not true. It is true. But it's an outside culture. China's a lot like that when we was in China. Everywhere you go, there's people. Well, the time Jesus lived, in the daytime, not only in the house, there's people at the door. You go outside, there's people everywhere. You got to find somewhere where you can get alone. But here is his priority. He finds a time that works. He finds a place where he can be alone. There's commitment. David had the commitment. He said in Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Psalm 55, verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. We find this devotion with Daniel and his commitment to it, to finding the time and finding the place. The Bible says in Daniel 6, and verse 10, that Daniel kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That was his habit of life. And that's what we have with our Lord here. You know, in the Old Testament, you have this great character, Moses. And when you think about the tabernacle, you think about the tabernacle where they worshipped and the temple. But the truth of it is there was another tabernacle that Moses had made. Now, you realize Moses lives among 3 million people, at least. There were 600,000 or better foot soldiers that came out of Egypt. Certain age people, men. And you figure all the others that would have been a part of that, they said there had to be at least 3 million people. And they formed camp, and one tribe's here, another tribe's here, and I think it's somewhat like a diamond, this campment. Later they had the tabernacle, where the priest took care of it. But before that, what the Bible says is Moses set up a tabernacle. A tent, that's all it means. And the people would watch, and when Moses headed toward that tent, they would come to the door and stand. And Moses would go to that tent, and when he came out of that tent, the Bible says his face glowed. The people didn't even know it. His face shone. He'd been with the Lord. Look, what he did was, in the midst of 3 million people, he found a way to get alone. David is king. He found a way. Daniel, it was his habit of life. I wish I could do and live like Daniel. Three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. Well, they have to find a way to be where people won't interrupt them. Dr. Pick said his purpose was to pray, and for the most effective prayers, one usually needs solitude. I know we have public prayers, we have dinner table prayers, but what we're talking about is a quiet life. We're talking about a part of our life where we're with the Lord. One of the most beautiful things I've found in the Bible is this idea of sitting before the Lord. You ever notice that? The Bible talks about David sitting before the Lord. It talks about other people sitting before the Lord. Go into a place of worship and sit. And just quietly be before the Lord. Let me read you two other verses that have spoken to my heart at times. Luke 5, verse 16. The Authorized Bible says that Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He withdrew himself into a solitary place and prayed. But I want to read it from two other translations. I do so not because it changes the meaning, but perhaps it makes it a little more vivid. You know the difference between black and white TV? No, most of you don't. Black and white TV and color TV. You know, watch some of these old movies, black and white, and they ruin them by putting color to them. But now, anything we see won't sit in color. Sometimes that helps. One translation puts that Luke 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He withdrew to lonely places. Or listen to this, and I love this. This is the New American Standard Bible. But Jesus himself would often, listen how it says it, slip away. Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. That's what we're talking about. Say, where's John at? You know John. He's always slipping away. Finding a place. Maybe he's off in the woods walking. That's a habit of his life. Maybe in a quiet room in the house. But Jesus had to do this. You see, he lived in a chaotic world. Do you think our world's a little chaotic? From morning to night, isn't it? With all the conveniences we have, we're the busiest people. we have less time to just. Who has time to just sit in quiet? If you saw him doing it, you'd think he needs counseling. He's just sitting there in quiet. What's he doing? We better get Dad to the doctor. Mom. But isn't that beautiful how it says that Jesus himself would just slip away? He'd just slip away Listen to this verse, Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Again, I like what the American Standard says. It says the same thing, but just a little different. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain. He went off to the mountain. I like it. He went off. Sometimes it says up to the mountain, out to the mountain. But somehow I just like how it says he went off. He's gone off to the mountain. Where's he at? He's gone off to the mountain. He's gone off to the field, like Isaac, meditating in the field. That's what Jesus did. And he's our great example. And I just try to encourage you this morning. I think you find this. I don't know why. It just seems to be the most difficult thing. And we live in chaos. Maybe the radio, the television, you get in the car. You're like me. I hit 3 different radio stations, I think, this morning, coming from just home to here. And well, get in the car. My wife says, "Why don't you turn that thing off?" That's living well. Television, computer, just racket. Don't speak to me, but it really, you want to, don't you? Want to walk with God, don't you? Is it really about what you say to God? He knows what you want before you say it. The Bible says that. In fact, he does not want you just saying a bunch of things. He says, don't come with a bunch of repetitions. It's not about that. That's why it's so good to read that they just went and sat down before the Lord. And I think, I like that. Maybe get a porch swing. Tree swing, any kind. Make sure it's got a good pad on it. You feel comfortable. You know? But what he does is just simple 2 things. Simple 2 things. Listen. He finds a time that'll work and he finds a place. He's battling the same thing you and I are. You know what the big battle of life is often in this? It's just one word. Distractions. You notice what happens here when he goes away? What happens? What's the next thing he says? Peter and them didn't get the message. They follow him. They follow him until they find him. He wasn't wanting to be found, and he wasn't wanting to be followed. But what they say to him is, everybody's looking for you. They want you to do for them what you've done for everybody else. And he's going to do it. He doesn't mean that to pull away because he doesn't care for people. But he pulls away because this is what's absolutely essential in his life. And he has to battle distractions. And distractions follow him. Let me tell you, don't let them put you in a box. I'm not here to tell you that you should have 2 hours. I'm not here to tell you you should have 1 hour. I'm not here to tell you. I'm not here to tell you you got to kneel. I'm not here to tell you you got to stand. I'm not here to tell you you got to raise your hands. You find a time that works. And you find a place. And you go there. That's what Jesus did. And if he needed to do that, if he wanted to do it, I need it. He's my example, right? He's your example. May God help us. That's what we have to pray for. Lord, help us. Some things that we think are big are just not big at all. This is big. And I have to repent of this more than anything else in my life. And I bet that some of you have to do the same thing. We're not here to beat you up. We're here to say, isn't this something? Isn't this something that our Lord, with all the chaos around Him, with all the needs reaching out to Him, He maintained some time to be alone with God. Let's stand together. Father, thank You.